Once again, we'd like to turn to the 23rd Psalm, preach part two of this morning's message, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, that phrase in verse 4, the valley of the shadow of death. Though almost everyone limits that to one's dying hours, I believe it's incorrect to limit it to such. It certainly includes such. There's no question about that. But we read some verses this morning to show that this shadow of death speaks of this world. We are right now in the land and the region of the valley of the shadow of death. Ever since the fall of Adam, death has been upon everything in this world. There's not anything in the world that is not marked by death. Everything's in a state of decay. The whole world, the whole earth, is a valley of death. And this is where we live our days. Psalmist talked there in verse 6 of all the days of my life. This is where we live our days. This valley of the shadow of death, as we saw this morning, is the setting of the psalm. And in the psalm, David describes a very beautiful, very vigorous, very abundant, wonderful and amazing life. He then illustrates a life lived in the awareness of the ongoing activity of the Lord toward himself. We saw this morning. He illustrates a life experiencing God's leading, again on a consistent, ongoing basis, experiencing God's presence, his peace, his refreshment, his grace, his authority, his control, his provision, his relief, his goodness, and his mercy. And it is in this land and region of the valley of the shadow of death that David illustrates this life. A life lived above the control. A life lived above the influence of the valley of the shadow of death. A life lived above the shadows. A life lived above the death. So in this land and region of the valley of the shadow of death, we saw also that David illustrates a life of ongoing, growing relationship with the Lord. This all takes place as he's passing through this life. We see also that David illustrates a life of absolute satisfaction, a life of great joy and great assurance, a life overflowing with joy. We said this morning that really what we have here is life lived with an exclamation point, and that's how all of God's people ought to live, and that's what's illustrated here in this 23rd Psalm. So the 23rd Psalm is a vivid illustration of thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. Strictly from a literature standpoint, the 23rd Psalm, of course, is beautiful. It's filled with beautiful words, strictly from a literature standpoint. But though, for those who can identify with what we read here, those who can place themselves within this psalm, it takes on an entirely different beauty, takes on an entirely different wonder. And it's the life that you and I can live. It's the life that we ought to live. We say, for you and I that are saved, this 23rd Psalm really ought to be the portrait of our lives, ought to be the description of our lives. And if it is not, then we're living far below the life that God has privileged us to live. It is sad, but many of God's people live almost as unfulfilling lives as the lost. They live empty lives, lives of wandering, lives of frustration, lives of exasperation and turmoil and unrest. But we can and should live in this 23rd Psalm. We spoke this morning on thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. Tonight we want to take a look at the foundation of that life. The foundation of the life that David illustrates here in Psalm 23. And it is the absence of these things that make up the foundation of this life. It is the absence of these things that are the reason that most cannot personally relate to the life that is illustrated in Psalm 23. The things that make up this foundation of thriving through the valley of the shadow of death need to be engraved upon our hearts, need to be stamped upon our lives if we are going to consistently live this life that is described. So we want to speak tonight on the foundation of thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. There are six things that we want to notice from this psalm that I believe make up the foundation. These things are absolutely necessary if we are going to live the life that is illustrated in this 23rd Psalm. So it's extremely important that we take notice of the foundation, because without this foundation, we cannot consistently know, experience, and live this life. We're not interested. We're not interested in occasionally, every now and then, living the life that is described in Psalm 23. That shouldn't be our interest. But as we read through that psalm this morning, we see that this was an ongoing thing. It was an ongoing process in his life. And that's how it ought to be in our life. We'll take the vast majority of the message from the opening verse of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That forms most of the foundation that we want to observe this evening. First of all, Point number one, making up the foundation. The subject of the life described in this psalm is really in those first words, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the subject of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. He then goes on, it's as if he announces his subject, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he goes on and illustrates what that means. But that is the subject. But we want to break that phrase down, because in doing so, we get a detailed view of what makes up this foundation. And again, we have to have this foundation if we're going to consistently live this life. Without this foundation, you can every now and then experience Psalm 23. But if you want to consistently experience it, you got to have this foundation. And the first part of the foundation is the subject. Notice the first two words, "the Lord." That's the starting point of the psalm, "the Lord." That's not only the starting point of the psalm, that's the starting point of the life that is described in the psalm. Our thought is thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. The starting point of doing that, the Lord. You see, many, they want a life of happiness, but they start out wrong. They want this life. Who wouldn't want this life? Well, you'd be a fool not to want this life. But you have to start at the right spot. And the starting point is the Lord. The Lord is the substance. He's the essence. He's the message of the psalm. He's the source of the psalm. He is the subject, he's the substance, the essence of the life that is described and illustrated throughout the psalm. Everything must have a starting point. And we begin with those words, "the Lord." Really, that's the principle set out for the entire Word of God. Genesis 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God." Where does the Bible start? It starts with God. Someone might say it starts with creation. No, it doesn't. It starts with God. In the beginning, God. In fact, I would say that creation is not even the subject of Genesis 1. The subject is God. In the beginning, God. That's the starting point. And that Genesis 1:1 ought to be a lesson for our entire life. This is where we have to start, with God. God can't be second. He can't be third. He can't be fourth. He can't be buried under a lot of things. He has to be the starting point if we're going to live this life that is described in Psalm 23. So our starting point is the Lord. That's our underlying purpose. The underlying purpose of life, the Lord. The supreme object of life, the Lord. The dominating and controlling factor of life, the Lord. That which gives life its meaning, the Lord. Whatever these things are, whatever the subject of our life is, Wherever our starting point is, that'll dictate your whole life. So we need to take a good look at our starting point. In everything we do, we need to take a good look at our starting point. In this land and region of the valley of the shadow of death, and in days filled with trouble and mystery and uncertainty, and with a wide range of events and changes, you and I, as children of God, can live this beautiful, abundant, wonderful life that is described in Psalm 23. But we cannot live that life unless God is the subject of our life. So the subject of the psalm is really the Lord is my shepherd. But we're going to break it down. The subject of our life, the Lord. Point number two, the life described in this psalm has its foundation in some personal convictions about the Lord. It's one thing to say, many lost people do, I believe in God. Well, what do you believe? What do you believe about God? What are your convictions about God? Because just believing in God will not transform your life. The world is proof of that. The opening words again, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a declaration. That's an acknowledgement of fact perceived by faith and rejoiced in by faith. The Lord is my shepherd. Again, we need to view these words in their parts. And I believe as we break it down in their parts, every part was a reality to David. It wasn't just a theological belief. It was real. He starts out again by saying, the Lord. That's our starting point. The Lord, Jehovah. The great I am, the always same eternal God of all creation, the sovereign God of all things, the Lord. And that was real to David. That was, again, not merely something that he believed in his mind. It was a living reality to David, the Lord. And then he went on to say, the Lord is, present tense, continuing on and on, the Lord. That's like saying the Lord continues on and on and on and on. The Lord is, the Lord, the one who excels all. The one who reigns supreme over all. The one who is sovereign in every realm imaginable. The Almighty. The All-Knowing. The Always Everywhere Present God. The Perfect and Faithful One. He is. He is. David acknowledged that by faith. He rejoiced in it by faith. It was a reality to David. The Lord is. Those words were true when David wrote the words. Those words were true before David wrote the words. And those words are true now. And they'll be true long after we're gone. The Lord is. The Lord is. This must be more. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not in any way undermining sound theology. Our theology needs to be sound. But this is more than a statement of theological fact. Theological facts will not cause you to thrive in the valley of the shadow of death. Theology that is real in your life is what will cause you to thrive. And this was more than just a theological fact. This was real. We live our days walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And whether our days be days of joy or days of heartache, whether they be days of convenience or days of inconvenience, whether they be days that are smooth or whether they be days that are rough, whether they be days that are high or whether they be days that are low, bright or dark days, calm or stormy days, days of strength or days of weakness, days of health or days of sickness. Whatever our days are, the Lord is. And this must be more than just a theological fact. This is the foundation of living this life. This has to be reality. The Lord is. That's got to be real if we're going to live this psalm. Thirdly, the life described in this psalm has its foundation in a personal connection with the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He now makes a personal connection. You can believe the Lord is. And that's sound theology. The Lord is. But unless there's a connection with you personally, you won't thrive in the valley of the shadow of death. It is a theological fact. The Lord is a shepherd. And David could have said, "The Lord is a shepherd," and he would have been theologically correct. The Bible says so. But he makes a connection. The Lord is my shepherd. This was his conviction. This was reality in his life. The Lord, the great I am. He is. He is what he's always been. And he will forever be what he's always been and what he is. And he, exactly as he is, he's my shepherd. The Lord, exactly as he is my shepherd. There's a connection. There has to be this connection. This is the problem with many today. Even though their theology may be sound, there has to be a personal connection. It has to be relevant to your life. And if it isn't, that is again a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for misery. The Lord is. And everybody says, "Amen, that's sound doctrine." But you got to go further than that. The Lord is my shepherd. There is a personal living connection between us and God. This connection forms the foundation of thriving through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we need to focus. We need to draw from the Lord is. We need to focus and draw from that. But we need to focus and draw from and live the Lord is my shepherd. So you have that connection. Fourthly, the life described in this psalm has its foundation in an always conscious reality or realization that the Lord is sufficient. The psalmist says, the Lord is. That's good theology. He even makes a connection. The Lord is my shepherd. And then he goes on to say, based upon this connection, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. So we have the Lord. That's our starting point. We have the Lord is. That is, he continues on and on and on, never changing. And that Lord who is, he has, he is my shepherd. The assurance resulting from that, I shall not want. I shall not want. What David is saying is, since the Lord, who always is my caregiver, that's what a shepherd is. My provider. My guardian. My keeper. My feeder. I'll never be deficient in proper care. I mean, if you believe that, if that grips your heart, the Lord who is my shepherd. And because he is my shepherd, all the days of my life, I will never be deficient of his care. Believing and knowing that, life becomes an exclamation point. Our joy isn't based on the economy or the political climate. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is, I shall not lack. I will never lack proper care. But there's also another way of looking at that word, I shall not want. It certainly means I shall not lack. But David is also saying, since the Lord is, and since he is my shepherd, I want no other. I want no other. You already got the best. I want no other. I need no other. And I seek no other. Why is it that many of God's people want the same things, think they need the same things, and seek the same things as the world? Because they're not convinced. The Lord is my shepherd. I need no other. I want no other. I seek no other. The Lord is my shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The shepherd. My shepherd. Therefore, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I want no other. I need no other. I seek no other. This is how we thrive through the valley of the shadow of death. So in this life, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we live our days filled with trouble, filled with uncertainty, covering a wide range of events and changes. Yet in spite of it all, we can live this life that is described in Psalm 23. But in order to do so, it has to absolutely grip your heart. You have to be absolutely certain, absolutely positive. The Lord is my shepherd, and because He's my shepherd, I do not lack. And because He's my shepherd, I want no other. I'm satisfied with Him. That's how you live this life. The reason many of God's people never live this life is because they're not satisfied. They strive after vanity. They grab hold of things in the valley of the shadow of death. But what we need to grab hold of is this. The Lord is my shepherd. Grab a hold of that. I need no other. I seek no other. The Lord is my shepherd. Fifthly, also from this first verse, forming this foundation, the life described in this psalm has its foundation in a personal realization of who and what we are. The Lord is my shepherd. The subject of those words, again, is the Lord. But in those words, David also describes himself. The Lord is my shepherd. With those words, David takes the position of a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. David's not his own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll tell you one reason why a lot of people never live this life is because they're trying to be their own shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And the only way you'll thrive consistently through the valley of the shadow of the death is to realize that you're the sheep. Now let's consider what that means. And I don't mean to be offensive, but sheep are amazingly stupid animals. And David says, I'm a sheep. The truth is, you're either sheep or a goat. Neither one are intelligent. Sheep are amazingly stupid animals. I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. Think, well, I'm a fairly intelligent individual. I'll get through on my own. No, you won't. You'll never thrive in the valley of the shadow of death on a consistent basis on your intelligence. Sheep are needy. They're very needy animals. David takes the position of a sheep. I'm needy. We live in a day of self-sufficiency, or government sufficiency. But we need to realize we're needy, not sufficient in myself. Sheep left to themselves, have very self-destructive habits. Man left to himself will destroy himself. He will every time. And sheep left to themselves will destroy themselves. They have destructive habits. They'll graze the same pasture till there's nothing left. Left to themselves, they will do over and over and over and over that which will lead to their ruin. Observe people. Same thing. Same thing. Left to themselves, they will wander to their own ruin. They won't survive on their own. They will wander to their own ruin. Sheep have almost no sense of direction. Look at man. Observe people. They have no sense of direction. We live in a day where people have no moral compass. Sheep have very little sense of direction. And left to themselves, they become lost. They become lost. In fact, that's what we were when God found us. Lost sheep. There's only two kinds of sheep, lost sheep and saved sheep. Everything else is a goat. That's another message. Sheep are very easily disturbed. Doesn't take much to disturb a sheep. Look at people. Very easily disturbed. Sheep are very easily frightened. They're very weak. They're really easy prey. The wild beast. Why didn't God compare us to the bear or to the lion? Because we're nothing like the bear. We're nothing like the lion. Why did he compare us to sheep? Because that's what we are. That's what we resemble. And that's more insulting to sheep than it is to us. Left to themselves, they will end up a skeleton. Which reminds me of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. No other class of livestock requires more careful handling and more detailed direction than sheep. And David realized that he was a sheep. So what does all that mean? Well, what it means is that David realized, I am not fit to direct my own life. That's true of all of us. You say, it's my life, I'll live it like I want to. Oh, you fool. Because we're not fit to direct our own lives. I'll make my own rules. And I'll choose what rules I obey. Oh, the sooner we realize that we're not fit to direct our own lives, the sooner we will thrive in the valley of the shadow of death. So this beautiful and vigorous, abundant and wonderful life that David describes in a psalm has its foundation in the personal realization, I'm not fit to direct my own life. That's why you'd be wise to wait on God for everything. submit to His authority. Because I'm not fit to live my own life, I must submit to His authority. Submit to His government. Submit to His claims. Again, we said sheep are prone to wander, and they will wander until they're ruined. But the shepherd sets boundaries for the sheep, and the shepherd is constantly reminding the sheep of those boundaries. Oh, what a blessed thing to have a shepherd. Because we need boundaries. Children need boundaries. Adults need boundaries. We all need boundaries because we're not fit to direct our own lives. This truth must grip our hearts. The Lord is my shepherd. That means I am the sheep. Also, Lord is my shepherd. That means I'm the sheep. Sheep are the property of another. They have been chosen by another. They have been bought by another. And in this valley of the shadow of death, living our lives with days filled with trouble and mystery and uncertainty, we must come to the realization, I do not belong to myself. I have been bought with a price, and I am His. And that is the foundation of thriving in the valley of the shadow of death. And lastly, the life described in this psalm, we'll get away from verse 1 now, has its foundation in the always conscious realization that this world is not our dwelling place. If you live like this world is the end all, if you live like this world is your dwelling place, you're going to be miserable. If we're going to thrive in the valley of the shadow of death, we have to realize the valley of the shadow of death is not my dwelling place. He declared in verse 4, I walk through. That means I'm going to come out on the other side. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I walk through. I'm just passing through. That must get a hold of us. Almost every child of God says it. We're just passing through. We're just pilgrims. But I don't think very many really believe it. Because they put their stakes down pretty deep. And if they are honest with themselves, they would honestly have to say, I hope the Lord don't come back today. I got too many things I want to do. This world's not our dwelling place. We're walking through. So our focus must not be upon the valley of the shadow of death. Our focus must be upon our dwelling place. Verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When will that happen? After you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. You don't bypass the valley of the shadow of death. And again, we're not just talking about dying here. We're talking about life on this earth. You don't bypass it. You walk through it. And walking through it, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now notice the difference. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our life in this world is the walking through place. And beyond this world is our dwelling place. And we must never confuse the two. Don't confuse the walking through the place with the dwelling place. And many have. And many are. But if you want to live this life consistently, again, all of us that are saved, every now and then, I've been in the green pastures. I've been by the still waters. But we're not talking about every now and then. We're talking about every day. I believe every day I can lay in the green pastures. I believe every day I can walk beside the still waters. I believe every day He can restore my soul and lead me in paths of righteousness. Every day we feel His presence. On and on we go. So we must not confuse the through place with the dwelling place. So in this land and region of the valley of the shadow of death, that valley, as we saw this morning, does not have to identify us. If the valley of the shadow of death identifies your life, you're not living right. It doesn't have to control us. And if the valley of the shadow of death is what is controlling you, you're not living right. You're not doing something right. Something in your foundation has collapsed. Something in your foundation needs to be strengthened. Child of God does not have to be identified or controlled by the valley of the shadow of death. The child of God, you and I, can be identified and controlled by this fact. The Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. That ought to identify our lives. That ought to control our lives. I shall not want. That ought to identify and control our lives. The green pastures ought to identify and control our lives. The still waters ought to identify our lives. The restoration of our souls and the walking in paths of righteousness. These are the things that ought to identify the child of God. For thou art with me. That's what ought to identify us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That ought to identify us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That ought to identify our lives. Thou anointest my head with oil. That is, God refreshes me over and over and over. That ought to be what's describing our life. Not the valley, but the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. So we see that from this morning, we see that we can live a life of thriving in the valley of the shadow of death. For you and I that are saved, again, our lives ought to not be described by a sad face. Our lives ought to be described by an exclamation point. My cup runneth over. And when you live this life, you'll say the same thing, my cup runneth over. Even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, my cup runneth over. Yea, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's joy. And that is the life that we are to live. But there is a foundation that supports that life. And that's what we've spoken upon tonight. This is why so many people, I'm talking about those who profess salvation, they live in spurts. A couple days are going strong. Then they take 6 months off. Then they talk to themselves or somebody talks to them and they have another week. And then another 6 months off. And that's how they live their whole Christian life. Why? Because the foundation isn't there. Where does it start? The Lord. Starts with beliefs about God. The Lord is. Starts with a connection with God. The Lord is my shepherd. It starts with a belief in the sufficiency of God. I shall not want. This is the foundation. It's a realization. Every time the stupid thought goes through my mind, I'll take control of this. I need the Lord to say, "You dumb sheep! Look at me! You're a sheep! You're amazingly stupid!" We need to be reminded of that. You say, "Well, that's not very encouraging, Brother Dan." It's the truth. Oh, that God would shout down at us, "You stupid thing, stop it!" We need to realize we're the sheep. And I can't control my life. And left to myself, I'll ruin my life. You say, "Well, they've been raised right." They will ruin their life left to themselves. What is it about that that you don't understand? What is it that we don't understand? Sheep are stupid. And they will ruin their lives. And that's what we are. We need to get a hold of that. And when we get a hold of that, we lay hold. We follow close by the one who knows where the green pastures are. The one who knows where the still waters are. I don't know where the green pastures are. I don't have enough sense to get my way to the green pastures. But He does. This is how you thrive. You have to have a foundation. There has to be that foundation. There has to be that foundation realizing I'm just passing through this world. There's no sense building a home, and I'm not talking about a physical home. There's no sense building a home here. There's no sense seeking treasure here. This isn't where my treasure is. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And does it not say just how stupid we are when we chase after worldly treasures? You know what that's like doing? Chase the wind sometimes. Just go out, chase the wind. Spend a day. Spend the whole day chasing the wind. And you know where you'll be at the end of the day? You'll have nothing. And you'll be worn out. And you'll be tired. And you'll be depressed. And that pretty much describes the lives of many of God's people. They live their lives chasing wind. Tell me that's not stupid. You think a dog is stupid for chasing its tail. Try chasing the wind. I mean, you can't get much stupider than that. This is our foundation if we're going to thrive. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you're a sheep? Because a sheep has to depend on another. And aren't you glad that He is the shepherd? He chose you. He called you to Himself. He bought you. You belong to Him. Get hold of that. Never let go of that. I belong to Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us the verse of song.